been looking at the message that Stephen preached that got him into trouble. And I don't think it was just the message that got him into trouble as much as it was the life that he had. Acts chapter 6, look at verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. That upsets the apple cart. Anytime you have someone full of faith and power, you're not talking about a great man of God. This was one who'd been set in with, six or seven others as a deacon a short time before. And the word of God increased and a lot of things were happening. And he was just going about his work. But he was a man full of faith and power. How did he get that way? Do you think he just loved God? Do you think he was striving for a ministry to do big things? I don't think so. I think he was just going about his normal routine, like we heard this morning. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He doesn't even say, these signs will follow them that believe in church. You see, this life, Spirit-filled life, is not just meant for church on Sunday morning. And this is where we sometimes get our lives separated. We are not schizophrenic. We are not spiritual on Sunday, but workers on Monday through Saturday. It's the same. This Spirit of God is alive in you and me on Thursday and Friday, the same as he is as a meeting on Sunday. There's no difference. We can't separate this thing out. Here was Stephen. It doesn't even say he was in the synagogue. It just says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This could have been on a 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. I don't know. Could have been on a Sunday. Could have been on a Sabbath. Don't know. Just says, here was this man full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And when that happened, everybody was just excited. No? Ah, well, you're right. They weren't excited. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. Oh, that would happen to be religious people. That just happens to be religious people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the Synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Why would they dispute with him anyway? Why would anybody dispute with somebody full of faith and power, doing great wonders and miracles among the people? You think there's a little bit of jealousy? You think they were losing something? Maybe they weren't losing money in this whole account here, but maybe they were going to lose something if what Stephen had was more real and lasting than what they had. This is what sets up contention in church, in religious people. One that has the real thing versus one that doesn't. So there arose some contention. Let's look at who they were. I've been looking at this message that Stephen preached that got him killed. And I thought for a long time it was the message that got him killed, but it wasn't the message that got him killed. It was just his life being full of faith and power. Set him apart. They had to get rid of him. So these people that were causing the problem here, the libertines, these were actually people who were Jews who had been taken into captivity, and they were taken as slaves. But in their time of captivity, they actually kept their faith under great persecution. They knew what suffering was. They'd suffered for their faith under the old covenant. And there came a time when changes of governments and wars had been fought. They actually got free. They actually found freedom. And so these libertines actually became known as libertines because they were known to have been faithful as slaves and persecuted. And they came out of it and became free people. So they set up their own synagogue. Now, if you're going to be part of our synagogue, you have to have been a slave and made free. If you're going to be part of our synagogue, you have to have been persecuted for your faith and survived it. And now you can be part of our synagogue. Oh, and isn't that noble? Except that, well, you can't make fun of them for standing for their faith, can we? No. Nothing wrong with standing for your faith and suffering persecution for what you believe. But did that guarantee him freedom? What were they lacking? They lacked the Spirit. They lacked the Spirit. The very thing we were hearing about this morning. They'd gone through all this stuff, but through it all, and it was the Spirit of God that would have given them the ability to keep going in the middle of all this trouble and hardship. It had to be the Spirit of God that kept them true. But something happened when they settled down, and then they made their own synagogue. Now we have our synagogue. We were the ones that were persecuted for our faith, and we stayed strong, and now we have our synagogue. That's not like us. And the next ones were the Cyrenians. The Cyrenians were, they were philosophers. They liked the classics, the poetry. So their writings and teachings were full of philosophy, and it was poetic, and it was beautiful. They had their words all orderly and well arranged, and their teachings were very poetic. And it rhymed. It had this rhythmic, really nice sounding way of presenting their gospel. And so they were known for being very, it was classy. They had a really nice religion. It's true. That's read it. You can check this out. I'm not making this up. And they didn't, for some reason, they didn't like Stephen. They didn't like a man being full of faith and power and doing great wonders and miracles among the people. Next ones were the Alexandrians. These were also very educated and eloquent. They weren't necessarily poetic, but they were very educated. They had all their facts straight. They knew the doctrines. They could quote the scripture. They knew. They were very, very well trained in education. They could debate. They didn't lose debates. They always won the debate. That was these guys. For some reason, they didn't like Stephen. And Cilicia was known as the seat of learning. Somehow this education and philosophy might be a problem. And Asia, one of the things that set Asia apart from other lands was that it was governed by a proconsul, which they appointed men to be in charge. Different than a king who kind of took the authority. They were under a government where, well, this man is in charge here. So we follow this guy. Yeah, he's our leader. So we just, I don't know, ask our leader. That was the mentality that came through here. So all the people that gave Stephen the problem, or that were here debating, talking with Stephen, the one thing they lacked, you couldn't fault them for their commitment. You couldn't fault them for being faithful. You couldn't fault them for ignorance of facts. But they were missing something. They were missing the Spirit. Gone. And so we see them here. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Doesn't say he did them in church. He said he did them among the people. If we would do a survey, and I challenge myself on this regularly, how many times does God use you in ministry outside of a Sunday? If you're prophetic, how many times are you prophetic during the week to a believer or to a non-believer? It doesn't differentiate here that he did great works or wondrous works and miracles among the believers. It was just the people, all of them, the people. That's just the whole everybody, whether they believed or not. It's what he did, because he was full of the Spirit. You see, that being full of the Spirit marks you as different. You can't stay the same. This is a very timely message for us, because our tendency, the tendency of every, and Michael McCord nailed it, the last message at our convention. He nailed it. with, I believe, a burden and a concern that's on the heart of God and should be on our hearts, that every move of the Spirit that started out perfectly pure stream of the moving of the Spirit, they ended in denominationalism. They ended up in they made their own synagogue. It's all now, we've circled the wagons and we have that same capacity. In fact, maybe we're on our way already. Do you know why it's possible? God builds in something. Every move of the Spirit of God, that move was always perfectly pure and clean. The move of the Spirit that God used Martin Luther for. That Spirit was perfectly pure and clean, and it was right, and it was holy, and it was exactly on time. Just the way it was when God began to speak through Brother Sam as he did. But do you know where the fault lies? It's the vessels that he's using. So every move, every time God begins to do something, there's built-in corruption. Just like every time God is moving through you, every time he uses you, by his Spirit, that Spirit is 100% pure, true, clean. You cannot corrupt the Spirit of God. It's always pure, it's always true. But the problem is, the issue is, God uses people. And because God uses people, we have this factor known as corruption, corruptibility, if you prefer. There's this factor of corruption here inside of every one of us, that when we have the opportunity, we've been given the Spirit to profit everyone. When Paul said it's been given to profit with all, he doesn't say in the church. It's to profit with all. Jesus didn't just do miracles. In fact, he did some mighty things in the Samaria with the Samaritans. Jesus didn't limit himself. Paul didn't limit himself. Jesus didn't go into that pool and say, okay, who of you believe? No. He just walked in there and started talking to one guy and healed him. It wasn't that God is especially going to target the moving of the Spirit toward those that believe. You would not have believed if he hadn't have moved toward you. It was when you and I, we were dead in our sin, that the Spirit of God first moved. Just like Dan read this morning. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. So you and I were dead. And yet the Spirit of God, somehow his Spirit came and he moved on us and he brought us to light. So therefore, why? Why do we get so, and I shouldn't say we, myself, thinking that we're going to come to church and we want to be ready to move by the Spirit. We're going to come together this morning and we're going to try to all move by the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want to sing songs that the Spirit leads us. We want to share a word or a prophecy that the Spirit leads us into. And we forget about Monday morning saying, God, by your Spirit, fill me today with your Spirit, that I can move by the Spirit today with everybody I touch. Because if it's not alive on Monday, it's because it was a fake on Sunday. I find that for myself. If the Spirit of God that we heard about this morning is so important, and we all know it is so important, but it's just as important on Monday and Tuesday as it is on Sunday. Because if it isn't, it was fake on Sunday. So here's Stephen. They disputed with him. They were talking back and forth, and they had quite a thing going there. But they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Notice it doesn't say he was smarter than them. It doesn't say the Spirit made him smarter. It doesn't say the Spirit just gave him supernatural knowledge. No, it doesn't say that at all. It's not about knowledge. It isn't about understanding philosophies, innuendos. It's not about that at all. It's about wisdom. He had a wisdom that came by the Spirit because they could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit. These two were together by which he spake. Wisdom is different than knowledge in that knowledge is just facts, figures, information. Wisdom is knowing the exact application of knowledge. And you don't get that by learning. That comes by the Spirit. And Stephen, being full of faith and power, had something. He had the wisdom of the Spirit. Therefore, he would just by the Spirit answer them, and they could not refute him. They couldn't understand it. They could not resist. And since they couldn't, they had to do something deceptive. So they took people who lied, basically. They just this plain lied. They had to find people who would lie and say untruthful things. Now, I shouldn't say they lied. You know, there's a difference between lying and not being truthful. There is. There's a difference between lying and not being truthful. When you tell a lie, it is not truth. But you cannot be truthful by not telling all the truth that's pertinent to this situation right here. So we had an interesting thing. We had Philip and Sherry's girls yesterday, and Kimberly is, what is she? She's six. And sometimes we make fun of the youngest in the family. Of course, Philip's the youngest in the family. He's the baby of the family. And now here's Kimberly. She's the baby of the family. We were talking, but I said, okay, you're the baby of the family, but you're not a baby. So you're the baby, but you're not a baby. And Autumn right away said, oh yeah, there's a difference. Kimberly went right over her head. Until a little while later on, she said, well, I am not a baby. I said, oh, you got it. And that's kind of how it is with truth. You can give some truth without being full of truth, because it's just kind of partial. It's only what's relevant to make your case. You don't tell the whole truth. So they found men that some of them lied. Some of them weren't just truthful. They just weren't full of the truth. They just said part of the truth, but not the balance, not the rest. And of course, that got him into trouble. I'm going to wrap this up. Zephaniah 3, I'll finish up here. I'm going to be doing more in this here, but let's pick up Zephaniah 3. These are the kind of people who resisted the Spirit by which Stephen moved. We do not want to be like these people, all right? These are people, you know, some people you want to be like. Well, you don't want to be like these. So if you're reading this and you think, I wonder if that's a good thing. No, this is not a good thing. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1. Page 861. Just thought I'd say that. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressed city. Oh, that doesn't sound like a good thing. These words, filthy and polluted. Polluted is just really dirty, really soiled. But this filthy is an interesting word in that it's maybe something that's really gotten dirty and sweaty from a lot of work that accomplishes nothing. The word picture was an ostrich running and flapping its wings. Now, if you know anything about an ostrich, how much value do the wings do an ostrich when they're flapping them? I guess they say nothing, except it's just part of the drama. Seriously. That, you know, like a bird, when he takes off, he starts running and flapping his wings, and then he transitions to a bird and he flies. Well, here's this ostrich running, and he's just running for all he's worth, and flapping his wings and beating his body, exerting a lot of energy that is absolutely useless. Energy, it's energy wasted. But it's showing something, but it didn't accomplish anything. Ever do something that was good for show but didn't accomplish anything? We don't want to ask that question. I will spare us all the embarrassment. I think we can all probably identify with that. I prophesied that was sounded really good, empty. Because it wasn't by the Spirit, it was by John. I've done a lot of other stuff. Woe to her that goes through a lot of works like an ostrich flapping his wings. It's useless. Becomes soiled. Doesn't just stop there. Soon becomes violent and pushes away those who are of the truth, those that have the Spirit. A lot of churches today will push away those that have the truth because they're oppressing. So they've got to push away those that have the truth. These are what she did. This was the marks of those. This was the mark of the church that was resisting Stephen, who was a man full of faith and power. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord, and she drew not near her God. Now these are listed in this happened because this happened because this happened because this happened. Didn't just automatically go to not obeying the voice of the Lord. It starts off with a simple little foundational truth. So we're going to start at the end of the verse and work our way to the beginning of the verse. Because this is how you can avoid being part of the church that resisted those who move by the Spirit and those who don't. Number one. So we're starting at the end of this verse here. She drew not near her God. When's the last time you'd know you've really gotten close to God? Because if this is real, I know when I'm close to the pulpit. I know when I'm close to Betsy. I mean, really. These aren't hard things to figure out. You know when you're close to somebody or something. Even a blind man, Brother Vinny, goes like this. And recently I asked him, is that just a little tick you do, like a nervous thing you do, or letting people know you're coming? Or I said, what? And he said, oh, no. He said, and he started walking, and he said, I can tell there's a wall right there. I'm getting close to a wall. Even a blind man can tell when he's getting close. Do you know when you're close to God and when you're not close to Him? This is an important question. Because our believing in God or having a faith based on the Bible, I love that, yeah, that difference, how that was pointed out. You should know when you're close to God and when you're not close to God. You should be able to, if you have the Spirit, you will know. If you don't have the Spirit, you will not be conscious of when you're really close to God at this moment or when you're kind of walking the other way. You'll be conscious of this. The first problem they had to this polluted city that ultimately pushed away those that had the Spirit was that they did not get close to God. They didn't draw nigh to God. What makes you draw nigh to God? What is it that causes you to come close to God again? You're drawn to Him. You're drawn. There's a love. Desire. Sometimes there's just a need. I need a touch from God. I'm sick. Or I'm troubled. Or I got problems. Or whatever. Or I just miss His touch. I just miss His presence. So these people did not draw nigh to God for whatever reason. And whatever reason God puts in your life to motivate you to come close to Him is perfectly all right. It is. It is. It's perfectly all right. Whatever God wants to use in your life to draw you close to Him. Jewel often says, if we didn't have these problems with Victor and Heidi, I would never know God like I know Him today. Because she said, we've drawn close. Does that mean we stop praying now? No. No. Jesus said, I guess it was James that said, look, cast all your care on Him. Is that in James? Cast all your care on Him because He cares. Well, what does He care about? Well, you. Is He? Because, so I'll come close to Him because I know He cares. Whatever's troubling me, I'll come close because I know He cares. If I don't think He cares, how close do you think I'll come? Will you draw nigh to a God who doesn't care? No, these people that were disputing with Peter or with Stephen did not draw nigh to God because they didn't think He cared. They were more concerned about their synagogue. So they didn't draw nigh. And because they didn't draw nigh, they didn't trust in Him. You can't trust in something that's far away. It has to be in hand. You'll trust something that's available. It's no use to trust a handrail that's 4 feet away. the handrail is close, you get a hold of it, you can trust it. Because it's right there close. The spirit that God wants to give you, if it's not close at hand, you can't trust it. You have to be close. So the things we trust must be close. She received not correction. Oh, here's an interesting one. So maybe the reason we don't like correction is because we're not trusting in God and we've never drawn nigh to God. If you've drawn nigh to God, you've gotten close, and you're trusting Him, do you know what will happen with correction when it comes your way? Oh, you embrace it. You embrace it. I personally have a hard time with correction. And I find a lot of people have a hard time with correction. Am I alone? Do I like to be told I'm wrong? No. I just don't like it. But God has ways to show us if I don't like it. God has ways of showing me why. Because I can't just change and say, okay, now I like correction. I don't have a miracle and like correction all of a sudden. There's a process. I draw nigh to God, and I begin to trust Him. And then when correction comes my way, I can embrace it. And it can do what it has to do in me. And because she didn't draw nigh to God, she couldn't trust in God, refused correction. Therefore, she didn't obey the voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." So if I'm going to be of the church, of the people of God that actually hear His voice and live, I must have this Spirit living in me. Because I can hear His voice. There's no shortcut. And I think it would be to our detriment for us to come to the end of our journey here and realize, oh, you know what? I was resisting God. To be able to look back on my life and recognize the places, I don't believe I was resisting God here. I was disputing. My argument was not with this person or that person. My argument was with the Spirit of God. The thing that's going to keep us, I believe, is by having a current, close relationship with the Lord where we give Him the right to do whatever He wants to with me. And I let God have the right to do anything He wants to with you. I count nothing as my own. Nothing belongs to me. It all belongs to God. And if God's going to make us walk in a way we've not known before, which He just might lead us in a way we've not known before. The worst thing that can happen is that we build a synagogue, because as soon as we do, we're guaranteed to resist the Holy Ghost. Guaranteed. I've shared before, I'll never forget how hard it was when the outpost began to get closed in the Yukon. Yeah, you remember some of those times, Dan? I think you were up there during some of those times. The terrible, because you see, this was the leading edge of the move. I mean, I use that phrase because that's what was used by our apostolic ministry. And I'm not faulting them for it, because at that time it was. There were some really interesting things happening there. Separation. God was doing some miraculous things there. And they'd say things like, "This is God's finishing school." These are statements. I'm not making them up. And I believed them and they were true. Steve, you were there too a lot of that time. These were true statements. And there came a time when God said, "That's done. Turn the page, next chapter." Who said next chapter? It's true. Yeah, next chapter. Turn the page, next chapter. We're finished with that chapter. We build on that chapter. But how many times do we think we're walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, but just repeating what God said yesterday? It's you hear His voice today. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. How do you harden your heart? By referring back to yesterday. I got to keep the page current. And the trouble, the tearing, the tears, the crying to God, questions. In some places, accusations, because God was stopping something that at one point was very, very valuable. That's where these people were that were disputing with Stephen. They had the Old Testament. I mean, they had a history. They had a history of thousands of years of God meeting them a certain way. And if you go on further down in there, you'll see some of the accusations. He's trying to change the law of Moses, trying to change our customs. Let me ask you, what custom, what word from God that you got yesterday will you not let go of so you can hear His voice today and be led by His Spirit? You see, He fills us with His Spirit so He can lead us by His Spirit. And then it's Spirit to Spirit. The Spirit of God is now drawing us as we follow Him. If there's anything that'll stop it, it's going to be my settling in to what God said yesterday. And I'm not finding fault with anything. I'm just saying that we can do the same thing they did and end up being contrary to the man of God, the man that God is using, one who is full of the Spirit, doing great and mighty works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but you don't see much of him on Sunday. Or it might be something you see on Sunday and a Wednesday or Friday. It's not known by the day of the week it's done. It's known by you drawing close to God, so close that you recognize His Spirit. That's how we get there. I think we've been challenged this morning again that this word, I love that. My faith is not based on this. It's based on a relationship. And as we go forward from here, we can find that, we can let that faith take us on today and tomorrow so that every time God takes and anoints a man, that the Spirit is moving, whether it's through a child or someone at the other end of the scale in age. You see, age isn't the issue. It's the Spirit that's the issue. That's why I think Paul said, when one of you is prophesying, let the other judge. But what is he judging? Not the content. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. So when somebody's up here behind the pulpit, listen to what they're saying, judge the Spirit. That's why we have some of these preachers that, preach great things. The words are right. The Spirit's wrong. You get some of these radio preachers that I listen to them once in a while. Think, he said a good thing. That was really good what he said. Then you find out later on that they were on a flight from somewhere to somewhere and the wife got up in the airplane and chewed out the hostess or the flight stewardesses for not having the coffee hot enough or something. I thought, here's a testimony of a man and a woman who are supposed to be having all this truth. I think having all these facts right doesn't guarantee your spirit being right. I'd rather have the right spirit and my facts wrong myself. Well, I think I would. Yeah, I would. So I want to challenge you. Let's be sensitive, draw nigh to God, and just see what God does with us. See what God does with you on Monday. And that our hearts are right. And so that when we are among people who were being led by the Spirit, no competition, but a oneness and a joining that we don't miss out. Thanks, Dan.